Today is one of 2 days during the year that we come together and will partake in one of the precious ordinances of the church, and that's being communion with the Lord's Supper. Lord being our helper, I want to begin in Exodus chapter 12 to get a little bit of a background for the meal that the Lord Jesus was involved in when he instituted communion and the Lord's Supper. And then the Lord being our helper, I'd like to go to Mark chapter 14 where the Lord sends his disciples to prepare for the Passover there. In Exodus chapter 12, we see where the Lord has just brought out the children of Israel with a mighty hand. He's brought them out of bondage in Egypt, and God has heaped 10 plagues upon the Egyptians to bring his children out of bondage and slavery, where they have endured the terrible effects of the slave drivers in Egypt. And the Lord had told Moses out of the burning bush that he had heard their cry, that he had seen their sorrow. Not only did he stop there, but he said, I'm coming down to deliver them. You know, in that, where I'm reminded that the Lord sees our sorrows and he knows our cares. But not only that, but he's come down and he has delivered us. The last plague that the Lord heaped upon the Egyptians was the worst. And that was that the firstborn of all the Egyptians, from the king even to the lowest servant, even to the cattle, the firstborn would die. The only exception to that was this institution of the Lord's Passover. And the reason that God passed over the Israelites was because they had done as God had commanded, and there was the blood of the Passover lamb there on the side post and on the top post of the door. The Lord says, when I see the blood, that is the blood of that Passover lamb, I will pass over. And in this account of the Lord giving them this Passover meal to be celebrated and to be done for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ would ever come, in that are tremendous and vivid images of our Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul would write to the church at Corinth and say, for even Christ, our Passover, meaning our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. So there the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, proclaims that Passover lamb is Christ. For even Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. So I want to briefly, Lord being our helper, go through some of these verses in Exodus chapter 12 before we move into the New Testament to Mark chapter 14. So then the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, said, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. The Lord says that this Passover is something so profound. It's so profound in me bringing you from bondage in Egypt into freedom. It's something so profound. The redemption that we're going to see here pictured in the Lord, it's so profound that now this is going to be the start of the calendar for you. This is going to be the beginning of months for you. It says, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it to the according to the number of the souls, Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. We see here that this lamb could be shared between households. And the very service that we embark on later today is called the communion service. It literally comes from the Greek word koinonia, which literally has the connotation of a sharing together. Different households could share in this lamb. Now I'm going to tell you one of the things that binds us together here as children of God and as those who have been blessed to be redeemed by the blood of our Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. The most precious thing we share in this morning is His blood, the blood of our Passover lamb. We see that pictured here, this sharing together of the Passover lamb by different households. I'm going to tell you, we have a lot of things that can bind us together in this world. One of the precious things that can bring us close together as physical families are the things that we share in together. Me and my physical brothers and sisters have shared in many a childhood memory together. We've shared the same mother and father. We've shared a lot of the same childhood experiences and childhood memories. And those things we've shared in together have helped bind us together throughout our life. But I'm going to tell you, even more than the physical relationship we can have with our physical brothers and sisters is what binds us together even more than that. And that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a sharing together in this Passover lamb. There's a communion together in this Passover lamb. We see that pictured here all the way back in the book of Exodus. Verse 5 says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish." You see, we're going to get to where the whole nation of Israel would kill these Passover lambs in the evening, and they would do that at the temple. So there was a great congregational thing about this Passover lamb, where the whole nation of Israel would kill the Passover lamb in the evening. But I'm going to tell you, there's something very personal about this Passover lamb. It says, "Your lamb." And it uses that personal pronoun of "your." I'm going to tell you, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, is a blood that saved all the elect family of God. It saved all of us. But I'm going to tell you, it's a very congregational thing, this blood in the assembly of the saints and among all the elect family of God that Jesus shed His blood for. But I'm going to tell you, it's also a very personal thing. He's our lamb. He said, "It's your lamb shall be without blemish." And the blood of this lamb was personally applied to us when we were born again by the Holy Spirit. That blood that He shed for us on Calvary's tree was vitally applied to us. He's your lamb. And the blood of this Passover lamb was shed for you. It said, "Your lamb shall be without blemish," in pointing to the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had no sin at all in Him that He had ever done, who never thought a vile thought, who never said an evil word, who never failed to do something that He shouldn't have done, but He was perfect and holy and complete in every way. He's the Lamb of God, the Lamb without spot, the Lamb without blemish. He said, "You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." You have the whole assembly there involved in this at the temple. And this lamb was to be killed in the evening. You know, when the Lord Jesus said, "It is finished," you know, when He said, "Father, into My hands I commend My spirit," you know when that happened? In the evening. It happened at the ninth hour of the day, about 3 o'clock p.m. our time. It was the exact time when the Jews would have been going through that evening sacrifice that they did every day. And that was the time that our Passover lamb was killed in the evening, where he freely laid down his life for us in the evening. The ninth hour, 3 o'clock p.m. our time. Said, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. That blood of the Passover lamb was to be applied on the sides of the door and on the top of the door. And as we think about the precious cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, where his hands were nailed into the cross, and where his bloody hand, where the very crown of thorns had been placed upon it, we see the three points of the cross on the sides and on the top that was being pictured as these Jews for all these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years celebrated this Passover meal. They were picturing the Passover that would come, our Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's pictured all over this Passover meal. Said, they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, in unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. That Passover lamb was to be roasted with fire. Fire in the Bible is a very picture of the judgment of Almighty God. When we see references of hell in the Bible, we'll see it described as where the worm dieth not, where the fire is not quenched. Now, I'm going to tell you, our Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, was roasted with fire. He was roasted with by the very judgment of God, the judgment that my sins and that your sins deserve. The Lord Jesus Christ endured it all. He was the Passover lamb, roasted with the very fire and the judgment of what my sins deserved and what your sins deserve. I used to think that they roasted this Passover lamb with the stick down the head and then down long ways through it, and that it was placed on the side, and that that Passover lamb was turned so that the Passover lamb was horizontal. But as I've come to study more about the history of the Jews and the way they did Passover, come to understand that the Passover lamb was roasted upright. And his arms were outstretched. He had a stake through his arms and also had a stake long ways through its body. And that Passover lamb there was roasted on that night, much in the very semblance of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, who was roasted with the fire and the judgment of God. The fire that my sins deserve. The fire that your sins deserve. Colossians 3 tells us he took our sins out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Every sin that I've ever committed or will commit, our Passover lamb was roasted there on Calvary, so that those sins were completely purged and eradicated. Hebrews tells us he separated our sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again because of what our Passover lamb did on the cross of Calvary. He was roasted with the very judgment of God. Though he had never committed one sin, the Bible said he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Though he had never committed one sin, he had all the sins of all the elect family of God upon him, and he was roasted there on the cross of Calvary with the very judgment of God. Said, with bitter herbs they shall eat it. They were to eat it with unleavened bread, again representing the holiness of Christ. Said, eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with flesh, but roast with fire. His head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. This Passover lamb was to be roasted whole. They were not to take the insides or the guts out of the Passover lamb, but it was to be roasted whole. They weren't to take anything from him. Said it's not to be sodden, meaning you shouldn't add water to it. But you leave the Passover lamb just as it is, roasted with fire. Don't take anything out of the Passover lamb. Don't add anything to the Passover lamb. And I'm going to tell you that stands true for us today, that we should never remove anything from the Lord Jesus Christ, from his truth and from his grace. Never take anything away from what he's done, and never try to add anything to him. You see, it's not the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for our sins, but we must add something to it. We must make a free will decision, or we must do this, or we must do that. What Jesus did on the cross of Calvary is enough. He finished the work, and we don't need to add anything to him. And God forbid we would ever take anything away from him. Said, don't take anything away. Don't take dad anything to this Passover lamb, but he's perfect just as he was. So our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary was the perfect sacrifice for us. We don't need to add anything to what he did. He finished the work of redemption. It's a completed work. We don't need to add anything to it. Said, ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. None of this Passover lamb was to be wasted. None of it. And I'll tell you, none of the sacrifice or the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was wasted. For those he died for, those he shed his precious blood for, those that he put the blood of the Passover lamb, and he said that on that 3 points of the cross, much like the blood of the Passover lamb was on the side post and on the top post of the door. For those he died for, he saved. Those he died for, he redeemed. Those he died for will be with him in heaven and immortal glory one sweet day without the loss of one. If the Arminian view of salvation is correct, then Jesus would have shed his blood for all the human race, but much of that blood would be wasted. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that who he shed his precious blood for, they are redeemed. Jesus didn't come to make salvation a possibility for all. He came to make it a reality and a finished work for the elect family of God. Not one drop of this Passover lamb's blood was wasted. Not one drop, not one part of this Passover lamb's body, his body, was broken for us. Not one bit of it was wasted. He said, thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, ye shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. He said, when you eat this Passover lamb, you do it with your loins girded. You gird up. They wore long garments then, and they would gird them up when they were ready to go on a journey. He said, you do it with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, with your staff in your hand, ye shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. He's saying you're getting ready to go on a journey. Said this isn't the end of your journey. This is the beginning. The Passover lambs died. What's our journey? Our journey is to follow after the Lord. Two places Later in this same chapter, it'll refer to the children of Israel as armies. You know what our journey is? It's to be a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to be a follower of the Passover Lamb. It's to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. Twice later in this chapter, he refers to the children of Israel as armies. There's a military connotation, and a soldier needs to be ready. He said, when you eat this Passover lamb, you do it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ. We have a journey in following him all the rest of our days. The Apostle Paul would write to the young preacher Timothy and say, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He encourages Timothy to never to be entangled with the things of this world, but to please him who's chosen you to be a soldier. Because of what our Passover lamb has done for us, we're to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ all the days of our life, seeking to bring honor and glory and praise unto him for all that he's done for us. When God came through Egypt that night, there were cries in all the Egyptian houses, because again, from Pharaoh even to the lowest laborer in the kingdom of Egypt, the firstborn had died. And the only thing that made the difference in Israel was the blood of the Passover lamb. And I'm going to tell you, that's the only thing that's made us different from the Egyptians. For we deserved the punishment of the Egyptians. We deserved the punishment that our Passover lamb took for us on the cross of Calvary. We deserved it. But because of our Passover lamb, we've been made righteous. We've been made holy. And his blood has washed us from our sins. Though our sins were scarlet, he made us white as snow. Said, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What a blessing is what our Passover lamb did for us. If you'll turn to Mark chapter 14, I want to look for just a few minutes this morning about some of what we fast forward to. We've got a context of the Passover meal and all the pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ in it. And then we come to where the Lord Jesus Christ, in the midst of that Passover meal, will institute his Lord's Supper and really explain in brevity that this Passover meal that they had been doing for hundreds and hundreds of years was all about the Lord Jesus Christ that had come. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 12, said, and the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? In Luke chapter 22, in a companion account, in another account from the pen of Luke, Jesus tells him that with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The Lord Jesus was greatly desiring. It was with an overwhelming desire that he would be with his disciples on this night before he would suffer. He had a great desire to be with them. And he said, with desire, I have desired, with great desire, with intense desire. I desire to be with you this night as we eat this Passover meal together. Said he sendeth forth two of his disciples. You look in all the gospel accounts, you'll see that that was Peter and John. And saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. I believe as we see this meal and what the Lord Jesus Christ was going to institute in telling them that this Passover meal was all about him, that we're going to see some beautiful pictures of the church and what we experience even today in this meal. He said, you're going to see a man, and that man's going to be carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. I'm going to tell you, oftentimes in the scriptures, water's compared to the wonderful good news of the gospel that we're blessed to hear in the house of God and to read in his holy word. Proverbs chapter 25, it says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Now I'm going to tell you, we're blessed to hear the cold waters to a thirsty soul in the house of God. We're blessed to hear the good news of our salvation. We're blessed to hear the truth of the Lord's sovereign grace. We're blessed to hear the good news that Jesus paid it all on the cross of Calvary. And because of his blood that was shed for us, the work of redemption has been completed. We've been made righteous and holy because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, and that alone. He said, you see the man that's bearing the pitcher of water and you follow him. He'll lead you to the right place. What a blessing to be able to meet together and to be blessed with that cold waters to a thirsty soul. That good news from a far country. You see, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ is not some account that simply came up from man here on this earth, but it's good news from heaven and immortal glory itself. It's good news from a far country. That's where our Passover lamb came from heaven and immortal glory, and came all the way down to this low ground of sin and sorrow to suffer and bleed and die for you and me. It's good news from a far country. It's sweet waters to a thirsty soul. He said, go into the city and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? He shall show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. Where were they going to eat this Passover meal? Where would Jesus eat this last Passover meal with his disciples before he instituted his communion, his Lord's Supper? Would be in a large upper room, where there'd be plenty of space for his disciples. It'd be in a high place. They would have had to go up some stairs to get to this room. They went up into a large upper room. There were some things in this room already prepared. You know, there had to be some preparing for today's communion. The unleavened bread needed to be baked. The wine needed to be obtained and prepared. There's things that had to be done to get ready for this Passover meal, for this Lord's Supper meal that the Lord instituted during Passover. But you know everything this symbolizes. The unleavened bread symbolizing the body of our Lord, the body which was broken for us, the wine which represents his precious blood, All of that's a finished work. It's already been prepared. I love what it says in Psalms 23, where David would write, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." He said, when you come into this upper room, you'll see a place furnished and prepared. They're make ready for us. What a blessing when we're able to come to the house of the Lord and something has been furnished and something has been prepared. We sing a song, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He delights in his chosen people. Come and dine. You know, we see times where the Lord fed his children all the way back in the wilderness. We'll see where he gave them that manna to eat. That manna came from heaven and the morning glory. It was heaven made food. It's a manna that God gave them every day. Man didn't prepare it, but it was something that God gave, that God had prepared. The Bible in Exodus 16 said it tasted like wafers with honey. Numbers 11, it said it had a taste of oil. You imagine how good that manna was for you, how good it tasted. Do you imagine that any nutrients were lacking that we might would need in that manna? No, God made it. It was perfect and complete in every way. I love that scene where the Lord fed his disciples after he had been raised from the dead. You remember the account where the Lord at the end of John, the book of John, is standing on the shore and some of the disciples had been fishing. And Jesus calls out, "Children, have you any meat?" They say, "Nay," which means no. Jesus said, "Cast on the right side and ye shall find." They don't know it's the Lord Jesus, but they do what he says. They take in a multitude of fishes. Then John realizes that the man on the beach is the Lord, that the risen Lord Jesus Christ is with them. Peter gets so excited, he jumps in the water, not being able to wait to get to shore. Peter, I believe, swims as fast as he could. But you know, one of the last times Peter had seen his Lord before he died, probably the last time, was when Peter had just finished his third denial of the Lord, where he denied that he even knew him. And there's that place in the gospel accounts where it said the Lord turned and looked on Peter. Can you imagine the look of your Lord upon you when you've denied even three times that you knew him? I don't think the look of the Lord on Peter was a mad look, but I do think it was a sad look. Peter was so despondent over his failure. The Bible says this strong fisherman went out and wept bitterly. He may have wondered as he swam to the shore to his Lord, will the Lord receive me? Will I still have a place at his table? And then he and the other disciples that had also forsaken the Lord and fled, here's the sweet news of Jesus that says, come and dine. There's still a place for you at my table. Here the Lord on this night, knowing the failures of what his disciples would do, still brings them into that upper room and said, with desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I want to be with you. I want to fellowship with you. And it's going to be in the upper room. You know, the only time the upper room is mentioned in the New Testament is in these accounts of the Passover and only one other place. It's in Acts chapter 1. After the Lord Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven And they're standing up watching the Lord Jesus ascend further and further. And they see him ascend up into the clouds. You know what they do? They go back to Jerusalem. And they're all together. The Bible said they go into an upper room. You think they were thinking back to the night of fellowship with their Lord? The Lord desires to fellowship with us even today in 2018 at Providence Primitive Baptist Church. He desires to fellowship with us in the upper room. He desires to fellowship with us as we communion together in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as we embark on this wondrous and this blessed ordinance today. His disciples went forth and came into the city and found, as he had said unto them, they made ready the Passover. Everything Jesus had said was just as he said it would be. Sometimes some people believe that this was actually a series of miracles that the Lord had made prophecies. Some people believe that this was planned with this house. Some people believe that it was the Lord's miraculous work every step of the way. And it was prophecies that the Lord would meet this man, and this man would have a pitcher of water, and this man would lead him to the right house, and this upper room would be prepared, that was all miraculous events. Whether the Lord had pre-planned it or whether it was all totally miracles at every step, I don't know. But what a sweet time it must have been for them to go up into the upper room with their Lord. I want to skip down a few verses to get actually down to the, for the sake of time. Verse 22, it said, "And as they did eat," they had been eating the Passover, "Jesus took bread and blessed and break it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body.' And he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. He said unto them, 'This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many.'" He plainly points out that this unleavened bread that's being eaten in the Passover meal, all this, it represents my body. Take, eat. This is my body. This wine that's been being drunk for hundreds and hundreds of years in this Passover meal, this wine is my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Matthew will tell us, he said, "Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Matthew adds a little phrase in there that says, "until I drink it new with you in the kingdom of God." You see, what a blessing that the Lord still meets with his children in the upper room. We're still able to embark on a communion service with him. And what a blessing it is in the upper room. We see the unleavened bread, his body. We see the wine, his blood, pictures of his blood in his body. Doesn't literally become that. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." And I pray as we remember his body and his blood, that it'll help us be more faithful in our life. That we'll be, as was said in Exodus chapter 12, that we'll have our loins girded, that we'll have our shoes on our feet, that we'll have our staff in our hand and ready to be good and faithful soldiers of Jesus Christ. To not be too entangled with the things of this world, but remember what matters most. And to greatly appreciate the times that we have with our Lord in the upper room. May the Lord richly bless you, is my prayer.